Wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, week 15 in the NFL, almost in the books. We got one more game tonight in the New Orleans-Indianapolis game. But, boy, the playoff picture is getting more and more clear as a number of teams have now clinched a spot in the playoffs, including the Buffalo Bills last night, who beat the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field. The Bills have had a few good road wins this year, and that was a good one. They beat Dallas, of course, on Thanksgiving Day. That was a good one, to go on the road to Pittsburgh and beat a Steelers team that was hot and feeling really confident with Duck Hodges as quarterback. And maybe Duck Hodges should have felt more confident at quarterback than the Steeler faithful felt about him. But Buffalo's defense is real. I mean, that is a really good defense. But nevertheless, they clinched a playoff spot last night in beating the Steelers. Patriots have already clinched. Baltimore has already clinched. And now Kansas City's already clinched. And we're still left with a division in the AFC South that's up for grabs. Now, Houston right now with the advantage after beating Tennessee and Nashville. And a good bounce back game for Houston. We're going to get into this more as we kind of really dissect the games on Sunday and the impact of the games. But a win for Houston coming off a bad loss to Denver against one of the hottest teams in the NFL in Tennessee. The Titans had won four in a row and six of their last seven. And since making the switch to Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, the offense, who could not score at all in various games with Marcus Mariota, started putting up 28 points per game. That's a good road win for Houston to take a lead in a division that's right now up for grabs. Same thing with the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, both teams victorious on Sunday. Dallas, one of those games where you go, all right, listen, what are you? What exactly are you? A good team? Are you a bad team? Are you a middle of the road team? Is Jerry Jones going to complain about you? Is Jerry Jones going to praise you? You get this game against the Rams, it's almost perfectly played. With how they ran the ball, and Dak Prescott threw a couple of touchdowns, and they took advantage of some defensive mistakes by the Rams. Eagles beat Washington, both teams 7-7. But Green Bay is now in. The Saints are in. Seattle's win, and San Francisco is in. Still vying for the division in the NFC East and still waiting on the other wild card spot in the NFC. We're going to break all of it down as we get the full recap of Sunday in week 15. That's coming up. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning on a Monday as we get ready to process all of the Week 15 fun in the National Football League. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. Last night, the Buffalo Bills clinched a playoff berth. For the second time in two decades, that's amazing to me. This league says, here, be successful. Be as successful as you can. Not the two times since 2000, 1999 season, that the Bills have clinched a postseason berth. One was 2 years ago. And the other one, the last one before that, was when they lost the Music City Miracle to the Titans. Way, way back in like 2000. I think Doug Flutie was their quarterback back then. But last night, the Bills beat the Steelers on Sunday Night Football to claim the spot and get to 10-4. This has been a real weird year for Buffalo in this regard. When they won the first three games of the season, they beat the Jets, Giants, and Bengals, right? And as the season went on, you kind of went, okay, that's not exactly the, you know, beating some of the world beaters in the National Football League. But, you know, they played the Patriots good. They beat the Titans. You know, they lose badly to the Eagles. You kind of were wondering, Is Josh Allen going to have, like, is he going to fall apart? Is this team going to start losing a few games? And they never did. A good road win against the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And this is a good road win, too. They played the Ravens pretty tough. And now the Bills are in the playoffs. And last night was one of those games where you ever watch a football game where you say to yourself, what am I watching? Am I watching a bad offense or am I watching a really, really good defense? That was what was Sunday Night Football was like for me, because watching the Steelers not being able to move the ball offensively, so much of the blame was on Duck Hodges and his inability to really move the ball downfield vertically. But you watch that Bills defense, and they were quick to the football, and they were shutting down lanes, and the Steelers offense did not get any momentum, and the offensive line had a really hard time in controlling the rush that forced Hodges out of the pocket a number of times, forced him to make some really bad throws. He threw 4 interceptions on the day. The Bills defense generated 5 turnovers in that win. Now, the offense isn't going to score a lot of points for Buffalo. They're just not. They're not going to explode for 35, 34 points. But they do have a defense that if they're playing at their high level, they're going to control teams enough that if something happens where Josh Allen can get a touchdown throw or a touchdown run, or they can establish something, maybe get some short field, they'll be a threat in the playoffs. Right? They're a team that can really make you sweat, because defensively, they're going to make you work for every single yard. And you could see the frustration in the Steelers last night, just the inability to do anything. Wildcat didn't work when they used it. Hodges just threw really bad throws, and a lot of it was just poor decision, but also a lot of it was good coverage by the Bills secondary. Tre'Davious White was in 2 very excellent positions to make those interceptions off of Hodges. One especially where he basically just stepped into the route knowing where the ball was heading. It was a little bit thrown too much to the inside, but nevertheless, you take advantage of that when you can. Now, the Steelers, did it hurt them to lose the game last night? No, they're still in control. The problem is that control includes a game against the Ravens at the end of the season. Now, the Ravens may bench everybody, and that would benefit the Steelers, but you don't know. I mean, you don't know how this will play out, and so that's going to be a difficult game to go to Baltimore and win. Playing on the road against the Jets, the Jets can play it tough, and if Hodges continues to make bad throws, anything can happen. But the Steelers right now continue to remain in the 6th spot. The team yesterday that I thought really hurt themselves was Tennessee, because you're at home and you're playing a divisional matchup. This is the game you're looking forward to, right? You're on this roll, you're winning games, your offense is producing, you've got a hot quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, you're one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now, you know, going in. You got a good defense, you're putting up numbers, you're running the ball down people's throat with Derrick Henry, and here come the Texans, which the Texans are a team where you just weren't 100% sure what kind of football team you were going to get on a week-to-week basis, right? They could look really sharp, beat the Patriots, and then come back and lose to a Broncos team with a rookie quarterback, right? While they still had a good record, there were times where you just weren't sure how good they could be. And they were up 14-0, and then the Titans came back. And I thought when the Titans tied the game at 14, they were shut out in the first half, and then the Titans get 2 touchdowns in the second to tie the game at 14. This is when I thought it was going to come off the rails for Houston, because again, you're on the road, you're feeling the pressure. The game is between 2 leaders of the division, with the winner taking a good step into securing that division. And they responded. They get a touchdown, and then they get another, you know, Carlos Hyde scored a touchdown, and they give up a late touchdown to Tennessee, but they pull away and get a 24-21 victory. That to me was, you know, they scored 10 points in the second half to sort of get this victory and to give them control of this division. To me, again, the Titans are in an awkward position, because they've got to play the Saints, who are in a dogfight right now with a lot of good teams in the NFC for the first round bye and home field advantage in the first round of the playoffs. They're still in that group. So they're going to go to Nashville with everything to play for, and the Titans better win that game. Are they going to fall out of the playoffs? This is a good football team, and they're going to fall out of the playoffs because early on, they didn't make the switch to Marcus Mariota soon enough. And they may be losing out to a team like Pittsburgh that, while really, you know, really hot going into that game last night against Buffalo, and they really were, you just don't feel like right now the Steelers are a better team than Tennessee. But that's not how we judge it. I get it. That's not how it goes. We don't take the hottest team coming in. This is not the NCAA basketball tournament where you can stink during the regular season and win your conference championship and, you know, your conference tournament and get in. It's the whole body of work. And the Titans were not a very good team when Mariota was their quarterback. And then when they made the switch, they became a very, very good football team. And they were still good yesterday. Despite the loss, they were still good yesterday. Would have liked to see some points in the first quarter, but didn't get it. So there's still some wiggle room in the AFC in terms of the playoffs. The team that really hurt themselves, they had an outside chance, but it certainly got worse. That's the Cleveland Browns. They lose to Arizona, and now the best the Browns can do is 8-8. And that's it. No big playoff push, no winning the division, no going to the Super Bowl. All of those conversations that we had and a lot of media people had this summer about what Cleveland was putting together. They are one more loss away from another losing season, another disappointing outing, another we shouldn't believe in false hope. It's too bad because Arizona is a team that's extremely beatable. And the Bengals, I mean, the Browns, as much as you would say you need some help, you need this team to lose, you need that team to lose, etc., you can't go to Arizona and lose when you're in the conversation about, look, potentially you can get back into this race. Now they can't. They're still not technically mathematically eliminated, but you know the drill if you've ever done this before with your team that's hovering in these spots. It's win the next two games and here's the laundry list of things I need to happen. It's just too much. So, when we come back on one other team that hurt themselves by winning, but still the winning tasted good, we'll get to that. And the Dallas Cowboys, who I thought played about as perfect a game as you can play against another team that's on the precipice of not making the postseason. More to get to week 15 on a Sunday on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and spell Ron with two N's, please. As we continue along on a Monday, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, if you need a last-minute gift, because, you know, like Christmas is coming next week, O'Reilly Auto Parts has got you covered, and they've got several options for gifts under $20, like a digital tire gauge, 20-in-1 multi-tool, how great is that, storage containers, even a universal backup camera, or you can get professional quality power torque tool sets starting at just $19.99, and who doesn't love gift cards? You can even buy gifts online, pick them up in store. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. God, that game last night was so hard to watch. I was so into Duck Mania for the Steelers. And he threw ducks all night long.
He didn't bring out the whistle.
No, he didn't bring out the whistle. Is right. He could have used it. Almost as like a please stop chasing me all over the field whistle. Like when you scream uncle. Like,
you know, it's kind of upsetting that he didn't, during halftime, let everyone know that ducks fly together.
Right. Yeah. Goodness gracious. That was just awful to watch. You ever see your quarterback throw a pass and you know immediately it's going to get picked off?
Yeah.
His final two, I knew immediately as soon as he launched them, they were going to get picked. I was like, oh, that's floating just enough.
And you got to feel, I felt really bad for the Steelers defense. Because, I mean, they played
hard. Oh, they really
hard.
Did great. They really did.
God, there was one play in particular that I think TJ Watt hurt the guy, knocked the guy out. I mean, he just bum rushed right over the center. Like, the center wasn't even there. Or no, the right guard.
Right.
I mean, literally just ran right into that right guard. The right guard collapsed like a deck of cards, a house of cards, and just ran right through the body. And it's like you could tell this defense was giving everything they had to keep them into the game.
Yeah, every opportunity.
They just couldn't do anything.
They had one. They showed one play. This is why the slow motion now is so great, because they can really dial you in. They had one. There was one moment in the game where a Bills runner was running with the football, and TJ Watt was running right next to him and took his fist to try to punch the ball out and completely missed the ball and hit the guy right in the over him with his fist.
And I first thought went through my mind is like, how is that? There's no flag on that. Is that that's allowed?
Right, right, exactly. I thought the same thing.
That's not a good look. I mean, all of a sudden we're going to start having guys punching each other out there.
He totally missed the ball and just went right through the guy's arm, right down to the old. On the old noodle down there. It was crazy.
Miles Garrett crazy. Might have a talking point now.
Yeah. But you know what? This is the fandom. There's the analytic side, and then there's the fandom. Here's the fandom guy talking. I do not, and I tried to explain this to some people on Facebook last night on social media. We can feel good about the Steelers season, right? We can feel good that Ben Roethlisberger was out. They started 1-4. Everything looked like it was going to hell in a handbasket, and they've turned the season around and now are still in a position to make the playoffs. I did say if the Steelers make the playoffs, it doesn't matter to me. I won't feel horrible if they lose in the first round because of the circumstances. But a game like that, don't feel like the Bills are better. Don't feel like the Bills are the better team and you just went, oh, well, we lost to the better team. That's not a better team. That the Steelers had every chance of winning that game, like you just said. They weren't beat down. They played a very, very good defense, but they matched them defensively. They played a quarterback in Josh Allen that's a little bit more seasoned than Doug Hodges, but he didn't throw for 5 touchdowns here, right? I try to put things in perspective. As much as the team is down and struggling, that still was a winnable game last night. But you are at a point, and this is the larger point here. You are at a point now late in this season, no matter who you're rooting for, if they're in a position to make the playoffs and they're not quite in yet, that you better be careful on every one of these games. The feeling of we'll just beat that team next week. This is the week, next few weeks. These are the weeks where guys know that it's the end of the year for them and they got to get some better tape. Like, coaches are going to be, taking a few more chances because they have nothing to lose. So they're going to try some different things. If you're a team that is like Houston or Tennessee, for example, and you haven't clinched yet and neither one of you are in the division and the loser of that division could possibly be left out of the wild card race, don't just look at your schedule and go, oh, we're better than this team that we're playing. Because that team could just bring out everything in the kitchen sink and you'd be shocked on Saturday or Sunday, whenever you're playing them, because now we're reaching the double weekend, that you might find yourself on the losing end. I've seen it time and time and time again, where at the end of the year, coaches tend to be a little bit more, all right, we're going to be a little bit more open. And also players understand there's some tape that has to be made here. So I'm going to play really hard, or I'm going to go all out, or I'm going to take a few gambles with my coverage or whatever it is. Because again, we're 4 and whatever. And, I'm looking for a job next year, or I want to keep my current job this year. So you got to be careful at this point of the season. The Giants won yesterday. They beat the Dolphins 36-20, and it was a great moment for Giant fans to be at MetLife Stadium, to root for Eli Manning, to watch Eli Manning win the game, get a standing ovation. But when you suffer through a season like the Giants have, when you lose 9 in a row, what's the reward at the end of all of that suffering?
Yep, I was about to say the same thing.
Right? What is the reward at the end of all of this misery watching your team lose week in and week out?
Pick.
You get to pick one of the top players in college football at the top of the draft.
And honestly, where they were sitting before Sunday,
yes,
they were getting the best player.
They were getting the best player because the team that is likely to have number one will be going quarterback. They were going to get Chase Young of Ohio State. They were in prime position to get Chase Young of Ohio State.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think they sat there before the game and went, well, Chase Young said he's going to return for a senior season?
Right, right. So let's go out and win, right?
Let's just go out and win. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. So, all right. And we have talked about this before. It's impossible to tank in the NFL for the reasons I just mentioned, right? Guys, all the guys on the team, they do not want to have tape of them purposely missing tackles. Now, in the NBA, you can tank if you're a coach because you can put in bad matchups. You can put in a smaller lineup against big, all those kind of things. You can manipulate the lineup a little bit so that they can take advantage of matching up against your guys. NFL is really hard. But nevertheless, the Giants did screw themselves over pretty badly with this win because it puts them in this pile of 3-loss teams. And right now, They're going. Miami's got three losses, and they own the tiebreaker there. Obviously, Cincinnati's going to have the number one pick. Washington has three losses. Now, Detroit has three losses, but they have the tie, so they're not technically 3-11. They're 3-10-1. But again, why take a chance to use a casino line?
I mean, you know what? But the odds were that if you throw Eli out there, more than likely he's going to lose the game because he hasn't played well.
He threw three picks.
I mean, he hasn't played well all season or hasn't really played all season, and he got benched because of bad play. So you figured, you know what? There's a good chance that he's going to screw this one up too.
He gave you some Eli moments, right?
He did.
He had a couple of touchdowns and then threw some picks. But
he did. There was a lot of nostalgia out there. I mean, earlier in the week, there was a tweet that I saw. It was like, a guy tweeted out that what hurts the Giants is sentimental. You know, that's what's hurting them over the last couple of years is being sentimental towards their players, you know, instead of not ever building something on offense around Eli. But you know what? He was right. Being sentimental did hurt. You should have thrown out your guy who's below Daniel Jones and Eli. Well, I don't even know who that is.
They keep saying that this was Eli's, possibly final home start. I don't know if Jones is – they keep saying that Jones was going to be 2 to 4 weeks. So maybe they are optimistic that he'll be right back at it in that game against the Eagles on the 29th. Who knows? But – yeah, I don't know. It's just to watch, okay, so you just beat a team now that also has three losses that you own the tiebreaker against. I get it. Okay, and then Washington has three losses, and I think they're playing them again. Three wins, I'm sorry. They're playing them again this weekend. So if they win that game, they're just burying themselves right in the middle of the top 10.
I don't know. Are the Giants hyped up in the locker room after this game? Are they going, good win.
They're happy for Eli.
And then they're driving home realizing, oh, wait.
See, that's the pundits in us going like, oh, yeah. Whereas those players are like, oh, just I'm glad Eli won. It make me feel better about that whole thing. But again, it's from a fan perspective because you know, look, we all root for teams that have bad years, and that's it, right? But at the same time, you go, all right, I'll put up with this, but I can't wait for the end result. Remember how in the beginning of the season, I wasn't very happy with, and I changed my mind on this now, obviously, but at the beginning of the season with the Steelers, when they went 1-4, during that stretch, they traded their first-round pick in 2020 for Minka Fitzpatrick. Now, I like Minka Fitzpatrick, but that's not what I wanted that pick to go towards. I wanted that pick to go towards a quarterback of the future. And if I'm like, yeah, well, if you're going to stink this season, you might as well get the quarterback of the future. What they ended up doing was they ended up drafting, quote-unquote, Minka Fitzpatrick with the number one with their first-round pick. Right, which turns out to be a really good deal because now their defense is loaded with Pro Bowlers, loaded with first round picks, and loaded and just playing out of their minds. They're number one in turnovers. They're playing great, and now they've solidified a strong defense. Now I'm totally cool with it. Now I get it. Now I like it. But my initial feeling was you don't have a QB after Ben. You're not getting Mason Rudolph's not the future. I never heard of Duck Hodges, Hodges before, but. Go get the guy in the draft now. Use this season of ineptitude to go get a draft pick. Well, the Giants really could use Chase Young next year. That defense is really pathetic.
It's really bad.
It's really, really pathetic. We'll see how that plays out. But good, it was a good emotional win. It was good for Eli. It's good to see the football royalty and all that.
You know what,
nonsense.
For people like you and I who we don't care about the Giants, we just find it funny that you have a golden opportunity, but you're blowing it. But, you know, for us, you know, I enjoyed the fact that Eli got the win.
Me too. And I think Giant fans as a whole, you know, go, look, I mean, yeah, okay, we're talking semantics with the draft. But, man, this is the way to say thank you. I mean, look, you can have those casual debates about Hall of Fame and all that stuff, but that, you know, that's all fun and games. The reality of it is, in the city of New York, Eli Manning conducted himself with tremendous class and really and never was controversial, never threw teammates under the bus, never did any of that kind of stuff. He won two Super Bowls, which, to be honest, is about what you should, that's really about what you should ask for in a situation.
And you know what? It's two more, even one more than some of the better quarterbacks in the league, say Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees?
That's exactly right. So you get two Super Bowls out of it. Thank you. And he produces a victory on a day where you may be seeing him start for the last time in Big Blue. So a good win, but still hurts your chance to get possibly Chase Young. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, with basketball and even football season in full swing, getting into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, Bet Online. You know, the bowl season starts later on this week. Sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Start betting college or professional sports, every spread, every total, every winner or loser, straight bet parlay, tease your way throughout the season. You can even bet on wild proposition bets like who'll win the NBA MVP. Get the fastest to market odds updates and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, Bet Online. And if you head over to the website today, use your mobile device, use the promo code SBNation55, SBNation55, receive your 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so maybe you saw it yesterday on the Fox pregame show, but the video the Patriots filmed at the Brown-Cincinnati game last week was brought to you by Jay Glazer. I don't know how he gets this stuff. That's amazing, isn't it? It's like, we're confiscating this. We're putting it in the NFL offices. And Glazer goes, I got this. I'll show it to you. All right, so here's the Fox crew on their pregame show showing and talking just about that.
And this is a piece you're filming on your advanced scout?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, guys. I don't see the advanced scout in this footage.
No, it's not. We were trying to get some field perspective. My bad.
That's not the field.
I don't believe that.
Why you would think you could take that?
I didn't know. I didn't know. But I can delete this right here for you.
Damage is done, my friend.
All right, so that was the video of the situation with the Cincinnati security officer going over the Bengals security officer. I shouldn't say, because the game was in Cleveland. The Cincinnati security officer that caught them doing that, and then the Patriot, obviously, film crew talking about it. Like, I could delete this. It could be gone forever. Here's the deal. I don't really know what they were thinking, and I don't really know what they were doing, and I don't know if there was an advantage that was trying to be gained by this. I don't know if it was nefarious, if it was innocent or not. But you know what I know? If you're, let's say, you know, if you're dating someone and you work at a, you know, bar or store or something, and they just happen to be shopping there a couple of days after your breakup, it's probably not a good look, right? It's one of those situations where this just isn't a good look. You're in the press box, you're filming, you're not supposed to be filming, you're filming B-roll, but you don't really know what you're filming, and you're filming the thing every single person thinks you're filming, and you filmed a lot of it. I don't know if it's innocent or not, I really don't, but I just know the optics are terrible. They're terrible for the Patriots. This 8 minutes of nothing, and the security guy was right. Where's the advanced scout on this footage? And the quickness that the Patriots video team wants to delete this film is telling to me. Now, again, I don't know. I want to still believe in the innocence of it, right? We're filming some B-roll. We don't know where we're filming. But as we said last week, if you're the Patriots and you've gone down this hole before, and you've gone down this situation with the NFL, and the NFL and everybody around the league points to you whenever there's a little bit of a problem, whenever there's a little bit of an issue, they point to your past history and say, ah, ha, ha, there you go again. You don't have a video team anywhere near the press box filming a sideline, and you don't have the video team saying things like, we don't know what we're doing. You send a video team to do that, you tell them exactly what they're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to tell them exactly how they're supposed to act and what they're supposed to behave, right? Listen, I've brought many interns to sporting events over the years, right? Guys who've never been in a press box before. And I tell them every time I've gone, no cheering. I know I'm taking you to a Broncos game, and I know you love the Broncos with all your heart and soul, and you live and die, but you can't cheer when they score. You can't jump up and down and scream when they score. This is the protocol. It's on me if you do this. If they come to me because you're yelling and screaming about a touchdown, that's on me. The same thing, the Patriots should have said the exact same thing to these people. Do not film the Bengals sidelines for a period of time. In fact, we can do this without B-roll of them making substitutions or whatever. Don't do it. Don't film it. But instead, they filmed 8 minutes of it. Now, again, I do believe the story. I kind of still buy it. I know you may think I'm naive and the wool's over my eyes, but I still buy the explanation. But what I'm saying is it's terrible, terrible optics for the Patriots to be doing this. Don't go near this. Don't have your crew there. You don't need this that badly. This is an in-house production. You're not going for an Academy Award or an Emmy here. Right? You know you're sending a film crew to a game to film a Vance scout who's scouting the next opponent. Be really careful what you're doing. And they weren't careful with what they were doing. They filmed 8 minutes of sideline signals and substitutions.
Yeah, and the only thing I could think of why you would do 8 minutes of it is simply because you're trying to find the one thing.
Well, they better explain what the one thing is.
Exactly, but that's where it's kind of that gray area where you kind of, see with the Patriots, where they could be getting in trouble. Because if you're filming 8 minutes and you're trying, it could have been longer. If they hadn't been stopped, who knows how long they could have been filming the entire site.
Sure.
Say no one comes into the press box. Could we agree that they might have filmed the entire game?
Exactly. Sideline? Exactly. They never said, I'm sorry, yeah, this was B-roll, and we only had a minute of it. They had 8 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And you're right, they got caught.
Now
they didn't do it on their own, and they got caught as they were leaving. They got caught while they were filming. Now, listen, does this trickle up to Bill Belichick? I doubt it. Bill Belichick wrote a check for $500,000. He may be rich, but he's not stupid. He's not writing another check.
Now, the one thing that does work in their favor is that, when you and I look at it, we don't know what they're looking for.
No, not at all.
We can't see it. I'm looking at it, it's like I would not even know. There's just people walking around on the sideline.
But again, it could have been the guys doing it on their own, thinking, we could give this to the Patriot coaching staff while we're here.
Maybe.
Right? Maybe they're rogue. Okay, fine. But it still, again, goes back to, and in the example I gave, and I'm sure many of you have many examples in which there is somebody underneath you and you are sending them out on a sales call, or you're sending them out to whatever it is. And they have to represent you, and you have to let them know what the protocol is. That you don't just send people out to represent you and your company and go, whatever they do is, I don't know, I can't control them. I mean, my God, I can't do you. You say to them, this is how you act. This is what you're doing. And you better not do this. You better not be caught doing this. We have, we went through this 12 years ago. We're not going through it again. We do have somewhat of a legacy that we're trying to protect. So do not put yourself in this position to have somebody question the motives of what you're doing there. And apparently nobody did, or if they did, it was ignored. Because this is, again, the optics are terrible for New England. I don't think it's cheating. I don't think they purposely sent. I think everything was on the up and up. I do believe that they were filming a documentary on the advanced scouting. Somewhere along the line, somebody made a decision to do this. I don't know how. I don't know who. I don't know why. But someone made a decision to do something nefarious by filming that sideline. Whether it was on direct orders or not, no one's going to convince me that they were filming B-roll. That's ridiculous. 8 minutes of B-roll. That's silly. For an in-house feature that's just seen in the building? Come on. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
Terrible look.
Again,
terrible
look. The only reason why I could say I figure 8 minutes is because they were looking for that one specific thing that really shows what an advanced scout, like they almost pump them up, like this is what an advanced scout sees. And, they got the footage of the advanced scout being smarter than the average person.
Yeah, maybe.
Now,
you're more generous than I am.
Now, the one thing that does hurt this tape is the Bengals security, the smugness off of him.
Oh, yeah. He's not having any of this nonsense.
Yeah, but it's that kind of works against the Bengals, I think, is like,
You know, the damage is done, my friend.
Oh, yeah, but...
You know, it's like that. It's like, oh, come on, dude. You know, just call it as it is. I mean, I think now that you're saying that, it's like you're putting yourself higher than thou and, you know, almost coming at it like a bullying type of way.
Yeah, but they did film 8 minutes
they
of
did film
stuff.
Oh, I get it. They filmed 8 minutes.
But listen, if the Patriots didn't have that Spygate thing hanging over them, maybe this is treated differently. But
or maybe you wouldn't have cared.
You probably would have said, wait a minute. Wait. They might have because you aren't allowed to shoot. I mean, see somebody in a press box filming, you're supposed to go, what are you doing? It's not supposed to happen. And if they tell you reasonably what they're there for, then you go, okay, great. But all video equipment in the press box that's actively filming should be questioned by everybody, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about as big of a story as it.
If it was
the Jaguars, you know, getting footage of anybody beforehand, we probably wouldn't care. We'd be like, yeah, it's the Jaguars.
Yeah, likely he would have said, hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're the Jaguars in-house crew filming an advanced scout. Okay, what do you got here? Hey, guys, where's the advanced scout thing? All right, no big deal. Right?
We probably wouldn't even hear it.
Spygate elevates this story. The Patriots' success elevates this story.
Yep.
Right? It takes all of those things into account, right?
And the cheating scandals.
All the cheating scandals have been involved in. It boosts the story up. But like I said, I'm not one that says this goes up to Belichick. I don't think he's that dumb. I don't care who you are, unless you know, writing a $500,000 check stinks, all right, for something that's like, oh, really? And he would have gotten hit even worse if it was proved that he had something involved to do with that a second time around. So I don't think it is. I think somebody went rogue. But again, the Patriots organization has to be responsible because they are being represented here. It is something that they should be held accountable for because somebody that supposedly represented them broke a major rule in an institution that should be aware of those kind of things. That should be aware that the scrutiny is going to be on them, so don't do it, right? And again, it goes back to, you know, if there's somebody has a restraining order on you, don't eat at their restaurant or shop at their store, all right? Like, don't be like, oh, I didn't know you worked here, huh? Don't film the sidelines when you work for the New England Patriots of the opposing team you're playing the week before. How simple is that? And, you know, don't. Even if you really, really want to, don't. And they didn't. But it's a bad look. Hats off to Jay Glazer though for getting a piece of that for the Sunday television.
Yeah, he's like football's TMZ.
That's right. He's like football's TMZ. Right. That was pretty good stuff.
That's usually. I mean, I would have imagined TMZ would have released a video a couple days after if they cared.
Yeah, if they could. They could get a hold of that.
Oh, they would have been able to.
I like the videographer though. Going, hey, I could delete it. It'll be gone forever.
It's gone.
It'd be gone. I'd just delete this video. It's like, no. No. We're going to take this one. Nah. There's no way I can even get it to a computer. It's like I can't even put it anywhere. Don't worry about it. Ah.
Yeah, I think the only other team the Browns really would have cared about with this type of footage, the Bengals would have cared about, would have been if the Browns were videotaping. Just because, just stick it to the other team in Ohio.
So when he goes back to the office, does he go to Robert Kraft's office and Robert Kraft goes, every now and then somebody is asked to fall on the sword. It is your turn today.
Taking Chris Carter's advice, you've got to have a fall guy.
You've got to have a fall guy. I didn't become this rich by not having multiple fall guys. Today is your turn. Just back.
Yeah, that
okay.
Guy. That guy's definitely fired. And you can even hear it in the video that he's like, oh, I could delete it. I could delete it because you know he's going in the back of his mind. Oh, man, I'm fired.
Totally. Like I said, I still buy the story, though. I still buy the filming of the advanced scout thing.
Yeah, I buy it, too.
It just is a terrible look.
I don't think the Patriot coaches were going to use this.
Oh, I don't
at
either.
All. I mean, they didn't need to. It's the Bengals.
Yeah, that's
right. Maybe we would care a little bit more if it was an advanced scout filming the Ravens sideline.
Oh, if there was somebody at the Steeler game last night filming that defense, it's gotten a lot better as the season went on.
Yeah.
I'd be a little bit more interested.
But it's the Bengals.
Yeah, it's the Bengals. Know,
they suck on both sides of the ball. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. So, all right, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. It is a football Monday as we got a lot to get to from week 15 in the NFL next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM, on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. This hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, Michael. This Patriots video is like Donald Trump knowingly talking to a stripper and MSNBC getting a photo of it. It's probably nothing, but you know his campaign manager is shaking his head in his hand. That's exactly right. This is just a bad look. There is nothing. If you want to go down the Patriots or some deep level conspiracy monster machine, all right, there's nothing I can do about it. I guess they've earned that. That's fine. Not with me. I believe the advanced scouting story, but somebody went rogue and I don't know who, but it's just a terrible look. Terrible look.
Yeah,
or, it's very comical though when you think about it.
Yeah, or you know, just the Trump's PR guy. Anytime he tweets anything out, it's going to get scrutinized, no matter what he says.
Absolutely. I was surprised that the videographer didn't go Gilbert Gottfried in Beverly Hills Cop 2. What can I put in this hand that would make you say, what's this? What is in the other hand? I don't even know what this is. Like, he sounded really nervous.
He did.
Caught, well, right?
That's the realization that a man is about to be fired.
Right. I can delete this. It's not even a place I can put it. I can delete it. I swear I can delete it.
Yeah, once it's gone, it's gone.
Once it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone.
Once it's
Here's the tape. You take it. You do with what you want. I don't care.
I love that security guard. I don't see an advanced scout on this. I wish I was, because if I had to cover the Bengals, like if I was on the road and I'm like, I'm covering a lousy football team, I'm bored, I would have just eased in to hear that whole thing. I would just kind of go, oh, this sounds like there's a little altercation
definitely.
Over here. Let me go over here and find out what this is all about.
Sliding
this
your chair over a little bit more.
Yeah. Perking up my ear, leaning over, putting a cone on it so I can really hear it, make sure I get all the details. Good stuff.
Plastic cup to the wall.
That's right. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on a football Monday.